Good evening and welcome to the Rabbi Yosef Kalta Bitocha Message Series, sponsored by Dr. Mrs. David and Orly Simai, as a schus for a zivik v'Yaakov Aaron ben Rochel, and for Shlema Elio ben Sora, and Lili Nishmas Malka, Pastor Rav Chaim Yitzchok, Rav Shlema Chaim ben Rav Chaim Yitzchok, Elio Chaim ben Rav Chaim Yitzchok, Oren ben Moshe, and Isha Gittel, Pastor Rav Eliezer Monarch. Tonight is the 94th Yahrzeit of the Alter von Slabodka. He was probably the most influential figure in the last 100 years of development of the yeshiva world and Torah Yiddishkeit through the meisters that he started in Europe, and he helped in Europe. And his Talmidim, who he nurtured, who developed most of the Moses HaTorah that we have today in the yeshiva world, in the Litvish yeshiva world. And he left an indelible imprint on future generations. And there were many things that were the hallmarks of the Slabodka yeshiva. But one that it was so well known for was the emphasis on the Gadlus HaOdom, the greatness of a human being, the fact that we're created B'Tzelem Elokim, and that, of course, enables us to soar to the greatest human, to the greatest superhuman celestial heights. And that really was a major theme and a major tenet of the whole Slabodka approach. I wanted to say over tonight, a shmuz from the altar, and I think that it has serious ramifications to our ability to put our trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a Mishnah in Seicheres HaPoelim. It says that if a person hires workers, day workers, and he poskil ima mizoinos, he says, you're getting a job, you get paid $10 a day for your work, painting my house or what have you, and food included, meals included. So he says, your contractual obligation. You haven't fulfilled your contractual obligation, even if you were to give him kisudas shlema b'shaitoi, as shlema amela suda, which was not a seven-course dinner, maybe it was a 70-course dinner. Suda shlema b'shaitoi, the greatest feast that we have in recorded history. Why? Shehim b'nei Avraham Yitzchok v'Yaakov. They're descendants of Avraham Yitzchok and Yaakov, and therefore there's no way you can satisfy them, even with the Suda Shlomo v'Shaitei. Ad kidei kach, that it says there that Tana, his son, hired workers, and he told them that he's feeding them too. His father made him go back and say, make the condition very clear. Almanah she'ein lochem olai elo pasu kitnis bilvad. The menu is bread and beans. That's it. Unless you specify the menu, you will never fulfill your contractual obligation because they're the sons of Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. And the Alter was bothered by this Mishnah. What's going on over here? This poor day worker selling himself for a couple of bucks just to do a day's work. And you include food. You said, we will feed you. And you give him Suda Shlema B'Shaitu. You give him this dinner that was unprecedented and unheard of in all of history, maybe. And you're not fulfilling your obligation of food? And why? Because he's a descendant of Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. What's going on here? So he says, it must be that on a conscious level, there's no question that he'd be very satisfied. You give him a meal like more than all the meals he ever ate altogether in his life. So of course he'd be satisfied on a conscious level. But there's a subconscious need as well. He's a descendant of royalty, of Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. And Memela, because he's a descendant of royalty, he can't be satisfied. He's a menial day worker working for a couple of measly bucks a day, and he's gonna and you agree to feed him, but you can't satiate that internal subconscious need that he has because he stems from royalty. And this is what royalty, a descendant of royalty, is doing. And there's no satisfaction there. And unless you specify specifically what the menu is, it's pasu kitnis bilva. That's all you're having. You're going to have bread and beans, okay? That's the contract. I don't have to do any more. We have a specific contract. But if you have an open-ended contract and you say, mizuinis, I'll feed you, you can't fulfill the obligation. And we see from here an amazing thing. The Torah considers our contractual obligation to a fellow Jew to the extent that I have to satisfy not only his conscious needs, but even his subconscious needs. If I put something in the contract which was not clear enough, and therefore I have to satisfy him with this vague condition, then the satisfaction has to go beyond even the conscious needs, beyond the most ridiculous imagination of the conscious needs, to fulfill the subconscious need that this person has. And since he's a descendant of royalty, that can never be fulfilled. And the Alter points out here how we see the extent that the Torah goes to assure the satisfaction of another human being. That when we enter into a contract, our responsibility is to deal with his subconscious yearnings, his subconscious cravings, his subconscious needs, just as we are obligated to deal with his conscious needs. I thought that shmuis from the altar can really have great ramifications for us in the pursuit of the midah of bitochin. If we think of the extent which Hashem goes to satisfy us, there's a halacha that if you make a contract and you weren't specific enough, you're obligated to deal with his subconscious needs. Alachas kama v'kama, Hashem considers himself obligated to satisfy us even on a subconscious level. If he commanded man to deal with another man's subconscious, alachas kama v'kama, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Because there are no inconsistencies in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Chazal say, it's a Medrash Rabbah, that when Esav was coming and Yaakov Avinu was preparing for the encounter, and it wasn't a very easy encounter, he didn't know what was awaiting him, and he was concerned about what might happen, so he prepared himself. And he prepared himself b'doiroin b'tfilo milchoma. And one Nusach in Chazal says his tfilo was, Ribbono shel Olam, you write in your Torah, or you will write in your Torah. Your Torah says he knew what the Torah was. The mother and the offspring, you can't shecht on the same day. If you allow Esav to destroy my wives and my children in one swift swoop, HaTorah she'ata osid liten b'Sinai mi yikrebo. Nobody's going to read your Torah because it's inconsistent. It's hypocritical. You say, Esav es benoi, don't shech the mother with its offspring. And now you allow Esav to do this to me. And that was his tefillah, to ask Hashem to invoke the divine mercy that Esav shouldn't be allowed to harm his family. Well, I say the same thing over here. The Rebbeinu Shelem, you told us in your Torah how concerned we have to be, even for the subconscious needs of a fellow Jew when we make a vague contract and we haven't clarified specifically what it is. You certainly have to deal with our subconscious. You know our subconscious. You know our needs. You know our cravings. You know how much Parnosa means to us, how much Yeshua means to us, how much Refuah means to us, how much Shiduchim means to us. You know Merubim Tzorchei Amcho. You know the extent of our Tzorchim. You know the extent of our suffering. You know the extent of our mental anguish. You know the extent of our subconscious pain, the things that pain us in the subconscious and take their toll on us in ways that we have no way of even understanding. Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we turn to you to take care of those needs, because You've commanded us to deal with the subconscious. Allah has come of a kama, you have to. Because otherwise, there's going to be an inconsistency in your Torah. And that's very, very dangerous. It doesn't portend well for people's commitment to continuing to read, to study. Like Yaakov Avinu said, if that's the case, I think that should be a chizuk for us in the Midas HaBitochen. Hashem's concern for us is not only for our needs, not only for the things that we are aware of, but far beyond what we are aware of, even those things that we're not aware of, that are only subconscious needs. And He caters to that, and He cares about that, and He commanded us in the Torah to take care of that. And certainly we can rely on Him to take care of our needs. But this also leads us to one more point, and that is sometimes Hashem doesn't seem to respond according to the way we would think. Our tefillos don't get answered, although they may not be heartfelt. Aveda shebalev is really what tefillah is, but let's say they are. Our bitochen sometimes doesn't seem to be working in our favor. Now, it could very well be that we don't really have enough bitochen because bitochen is infinite in its levels, but let's say that we do. But sometimes Hashem looks at the situation and He says, I hear your conscious request. I hear, I know your conscious bitochen that this is what you want to achieve, but I know what you really want. I know the subconscious. I know the things that are beyond your ability to know. I know the negative ramifications if I were to grant you that which you have. So this gives us also a better ability to cope. And sometimes we wonder, why? Why are things not happening immediately? Besides the answer that maybe we really haven't had as much bitochen as we thought. But maybe it's also because Hashem knows beyond. Hashem goes beyond. He doesn't only just look at what we have stated, but He delves into the subconscious, and He delves into the future, and He delves into the ramifications, and He deals with everything accordingly. So I thought this could be a bit of a chizuk in our ability to have bitochen and our ability to cope with the lack of response kolzman, or until the point that we strengthen our bitochen even more. Hashem should help, especially in times like these, when so many of our problems are still wide open and exposed, confusion and illness and Hashem should help that we should be able to rise to the level of being true Bali Bitochen, and in that schus Hashem should be Memale Kol Mishalei Seinu L'Tevo. Good evening, everybody.